Yeah, well, we got through it. Colossians chapter 1, if you will, please. Colossians chapter 1. Appreciate you being here this morning. I don't really play piano. I bang in key. Usually in key. It's one of the keys. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 1, if you will, please. So glad to have you here. And if you're visiting with us today and you don't have a regular church home, I know a real nice one. Folks are great, and preachers are not, but it's a nice place. It's out here in 5005 Carlisle Road, and we'd appreciate you come back and see us again. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 1. I'm going to read the first 17 verses, put it all in context here. All right, here we go. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, watch this, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Now, God has a will. He has a plan for everybody, just so you know. Well, he had a plan for him. I know. He's not like he has the big folks, and then there's the rest of us here just kind of throws in for good measure. Now, he's got something there for you. Verse number 2, he's writing to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Now, I think you could say this, even though he's writing it to the church in Colossae, this is something that God wants across the board. And I think we can honestly say we can take this and apply it to us. He says, grace, that undeserved power of God, the miracle working of God, the cheerfulness within the context of who we are, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not careful, a lot of times we can lay awake at night and there's not much peace. I was talking to some, I was a young man the other day, just a high school boy, and he was talking about how things, you lay down at night and just things just start rolling over your brain. You ever notice that? I do a lot of thinking when I'm lying down. It seems like all the blood rushes to my brain, I guess it is. And years ago, I used to write all the passion plays down at Open Door in Westminster. And it's for some reason, it'd be about 2 o'clock in the morning when I get my inspiration. I don't know why God does that. But so I'd turn on and sometimes it would just happen all in one night. Just kind of like there it was, you know. And I'd turn on the little lamp there on the table, and I'd write something down, and then I'd turn it off. And a little while later, I'd turn the lamp on, I'd write something down, I'd turn it off. And my wife and I sleep in the same room and in the same bed. So when I turn on the light, it doesn't do her any good. And so she bought me a pen with a light on the end. So it's only enough there to do just a page. But anyway, God has, you know, we lay in bed sometimes, we think about it. God wants to give us peace. Now, if there aren't storms, you don't need peace. Peace is not the absence of problems. It's not the absence of persecution. It's not the absence of affliction. It's the presence of a holy God in the midst of everything else. So he says, grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. Where does the grace and peace come from? God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Not from Oprah. Not from Dr. Phil. Not from The View. The Talk. All this other stuff. Not the newspaper. Oh, my soul. Not the news. Peace comes from God our Father. We can cry, Abba, Father. From God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's in control. Verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. By the way, the Bible says, be careful for nothing but all things, but prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's the attitude of prayer. We know God has everything in control. We just need to give it to him. I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking to Nathan about this. It hit me. We were at a preacher's fellowship, and it was something that the preacher said kind of hit me. Do you realize, I guess I knew this, why does God ask us to pray? This is not part of the message. This is free. Why does he ask? If he already says, he says, before you ask, I answer. If he already knows what we need, why do we need to bother to do this? I'll tell you what it is. Do you realize that prayer is a expression of our humility and need? And it's a willful expression. God is sovereign. And in his sovereignty, he has the right to give us a free will to make decisions. So he gave us that free will. Now, what's he expecting us to do with that free will? He's expecting us to take that free will and surrender it back to him. Now, we can take the free will and go off and do our own thing, but the fact is we're going to end up in the snares and the briars and the problems and the mud puddles and all those issues. We're going to be in a whole lot more mess than if we'd just given it back to him. So God is asking us to pray. So he says, listen, the God of grace and peace is there. He says, so we give thanks. He says, we're so glad that God answers prayer. We give thanks to God and the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. The thanksgiving and the praying is all going together because I know he's got everything. We just keep giving it to him. I'm just so grateful for it. We just keep giving it to him. We keep giving him to you. Now, you say, well, why won't God answer if we don't give? He wants us to give ourselves back to him. Humility. Being humble before God is so important. And so many people, they'll go through, well, I prayed. In fact, it was a pretty good prayer. I had a lot of these and thous and all this stuff in him. Well, it was a nice prayer. God ought to answer that one. That's not what he's answering. He's answering the giving of our own free will to him, giving of our needs. Verse 4. Let me go back to verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. If I keep preaching on this, we'll get to the message. For the hope, watch. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringing forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who was for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, since we heard you getting saved and all this, and you see that you're growing in him, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He says, I want you to know more and more how God wants things to work. Because you see, the more and more you find out how God wants it to work, and the more we give into it, the more it's going to work. The more we're going to be blessed. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, to all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before, in priority, in chronology, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Let's have a word of prayer, and today I'm going to talk on this topic. We've been talking about our theme, Jesus, our hope. Today we're going to talk Jesus, our hope, because Jesus is our God. Simple, but I think we miss it. We're not careful. Let's pray. Jesus, our hope, because Jesus is our God. Father, thank you again for your word, for your promises, for being our Father, allowing us to cry, Abba, Daddy, knowing you have a plan for us. There's not one person in this room that you do not know better than we probably know ourselves. There's not one person in this room that you do not have a plan for. There's not one person in this room that you didn't die for. There's not one person in this room that you're not hoping to see in heaven one day. And there's not one person in this room that you don't want to see reach their full potential. Lord, I thank you that you are our hope. May what we say here, though it may be simple here this morning, that it'll make sense. Maybe it will fill in some cracks in the foundation of our faith. Or give us what we need. Again, Lord, if there be one here this morning who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, may the day be the day of their salvation. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you a little introduction here to kind of get you the way I'm thinking. Our theme this year is Jesus, our hope. And we took our theme banner down last week. And in fact, we might put it back up for the next couple of weeks until we get to the end of the first of next month. We'll have a God and Country Day in July. But we've had quite a few messages about hope. What is hope? It's a confident expectation. It's not saying, well, I'm going to work up hope. I'm going to work up faith. It's saying it's a done deal. I mean, and the reason it's a done deal is because God's already given his word on it. I haven't seen it yet. And maybe we've never seen it happen before in all of eternity. My guess is that when the Israelites saw the Red Sea open, I've seen that. You know. But we can say we have hope that God's going to do what it takes to get us through to the other side. I don't know how he's going to do it. I've never seen it happen before, but I know he can. You've seen what hope is not. Hope is not just a wishful thinking. We've seen some things that hinder hope. Our pride. Our words. We see some things that bring hope. But I want to take some time to concentrate on the first part of our theme, Jesus. What a wonderful name. Bill Gates said, there's something about that name. Kings and kingdoms will pass away, but there's something about that name. Some folks don't know. In fact, there's probably some folks sitting here, you say, well, why would you tear up over the name Jesus? Kind of weird. Then you don't know him. Like you could know him. You might be saved, part of the family, but you don't spend much time with Daddy. I'm not trying to beat you. I'm just saying you have an opportunity to know a Heavenly Father and through his only begotten Son, Jesus. Buddha is not our hope. Buddha's dead. In fact, Buddha wasn't even his own hope. Muhammad is not your hope. Muhammad's dead. He wasn't even his own hope. Jesus is our hope. He's not dead. Jesus is our hope because Jesus is God. The reason our society seems sad, depressed, looks for excitement, fulfillment in the temporal things of this world, maybe tries to get a thrill by doing the extreme things of the world, is because our society has little, if any, real and substantial joy and peace and hope. Our society has hope for themselves only in this world, and that hope for many is simply a hope of some kind of physical or worldly enjoyment that will distract them from the emptiness in their own hearts and the futile existence that they live. Just get me through another day. I just hope I live it through another day. It bothers me that sometimes if someone's actually happy and they actually have a song in their heart, actually have a little bit of joy. If they see a little kid skipping down the street, they want to say, what's he high on? He can't be happy. How can you be happy? The reason they have no hope is because they have no God. Many will testify that the Lord is their God, but in practical exercise, they trust no one but themselves or some other man. They're Christian atheists. And if they have enough sense to realize that man is only man in flesh and blood, it's vulnerable and easily destructible. And then we realize we have no hope. Sometimes man will place trust in a greater man or a greater human power. But even then, man is still only man, and man knows that. And if that is true, then we have no hope. Society has stripped itself of hope because it has stripped itself of God. Not just the concept of God, but has stripped itself of the one true God, the Lord Jehovah, the self-existing one, the creator and sustainer of the universe. Listen, he's not just the sustainer of this world, this solar system, but the universe. There's not going to be some God on this one. We're not going to become gods and have our own little universe. He is the creator of the universe. Listen, there is no measure to his limits, just like there's no measure to the universe. Nothing is impossible with God. With God, all things are possible. And if all things are possible with God, then hope is still alive and available. We have hope because we have God. And those who have no hope have no God. At least not one that they trust. Jesus is our hope because Jesus is our God. Jesus is the only God. Let me give you number one. Simple message here this morning. Number one, God has a great plan for you. If you're like me, we've all been sometime in our lives, we've been to the point we just kind of think, why bother? Where I blew it. Where everybody's going to think, you know, we're all worried about what everybody else thinks. Like our hope is based on popular opinion. Hope's not based on opinion of man. Hope is based on the truth of the Word of God. It's based on the love of God. It's based on the fact that God has a plan for you. Well, I don't know where the plan is. That's not the point right now. God has a plan for your life. In fact, if he told you everything, it'd scare you to death. Look at, let me say one other thing. Life is not over. If you're here today, you say, well, you know what? It's just too much going on. We're too far down the river. It's over. It's not over. Colossians 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace. That word grace is cheerfulness. It's being happy from a sense of being in a good state. That's what it means. I mean being well off, faring well. You could say it this way: seeing God work in a positive direction, even if God has to take it in a negative direction at first in order to get us to the right path so that we can go in a positive direction. There's been times in my life God's taken me back to an intersection. And I had gone the wrong way the first time. And it looks like I have to back up. Take me back to the intersection so I can go the right section, the right way. Now I can be proud and I can just be determined and bullheaded and just simply say, well, here I am. That's what I'm too late to start to change now. No, it's not. It's only too late in your own little pea brain. God said, well, let me back you up. Take you down another path. It's not too late. He says cheerfulness would be with, and then he says, and peace. That's a quietness with a sense, watch. It's a quietness with a sense of positive progress. In other words, it might look bad, but all is good because all is in God's hand and God wants what is best for me, so I have hope. I know I have hope because God has a plan. So I don't know the plan. He didn't tell me, I'm going to tell you the whole plan. He has a plan. His word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Take it step by step by step. What do I need to do today? Well, that might be what you need to do today. My wife is an intelligent woman. She's well-educated, and there's so many things that she can do. And the fact is, when we were at when we were down Open Door in Westminster, the preacher stood up and asked, he said, we need somebody to do something. She wanted to do it. It was not that she wanted to be the person, just said, well, somebody needs to do it, so I just need to do it. So, okay. And there was a couple of times I said, Janet, hold on. We're still in the minivan stage of life. We have four little kids. You can't do everything. She beat herself to death. So sometimes she still does that. And she'll beat herself to death because she just feels, well, I've got to do everything. But wait a minute, God has a plan. I mean, right now that in our stage, this is what you got to do. Now, if you're not careful, and I'm not saying she did this, because she would do everything she can to help with her kids. I think her kids turned out pretty decent. But the fact is, she would do everything she could to try to take care of the kids and try to do all these things. But sometimes we just got to say, well, right now, she's a mommy. She's still an intelligent woman, can do a lot of things, but she's a mommy. That's where she needs to be right now. That's her calling right now. Now, kids are grown. They've been kind of getting their way out of the house, and she's been allowed in the last 8-10 years to do some things she's always kind of wanted to do and never was able to do. It's part of the plan. Sometimes we try to push the doors open. We try to get into something, and then we say, well, I've got it. You know, I've got this. I figured I had to. Well, let's not get ahead of God. Let's just do what he asks us to do. Let's do what he asks us to do. And there should be a quiet and a peace about it. He says, "Why? And where does it come from? From God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. What? Someone without hope does not sense being well off. Let me say that again. Someone who does not have hope does not have a sense about him being well off. When I say well, I'm not talking about rich. I mean doing well, faring well, going about life okay. No hope means things are not looking good. But someone without hope is without peace and without a sense of being able to prosper. Now, 2 Peter 1, God has called us, it says, to glory and virtue. God has not changed his mind about doing something great in your life. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Listen, he who hath begun a good work shall perform it. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. So God is still working because God still has a plan. So if he still has a plan, there's still hope. We have hope available to us. Too often, we are the ones who turn that hope away when we turn away from God. God has a plan. The plan calls us not to a mess, but to glory and virtue. It's God who has the plan. So what are we upset about? What are we scared about? In fact, 99% of the time when we say the plan didn't work, it's because we didn't let him work the plan. We've been overriding his authority. The question says, well, can my life really change? I've seen some lives in here change. Not because of Sterling Walsh. Maybe because I showed you some places in the Word of God where the Word of God could do the changing. I'm just the doctor. I'm not the great physician. I can take you to the medicine, but the medicine has to do the work, and the medicine is the Word of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. It's all homosexuality and all kinds of things in there. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, my soul. Boy, if you knew my past, I guess that's it. No hope. Oh, don't stop there. And such were some of you. That's what he says. but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. God says, it's going to get done. I'm given the authority. You know why? Because he has a plan. But I messed up the plan, and he knew that. His plan even took into account that you were going to mess up the plan. That's how he can write in Romans 8:28, for that we know all things that work together for good, that those who love God are called according to his purpose. In other words, as soon as we let him, we start obeying him. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love him and we start doing what he tells us to do, we obey him, then we can start making these things turn around for good. But as long as we're going to keep on doing our own thing, it's just going to be a lot of mess. Just a lot of mess. Because we're not working the plan. Let him work the plan. God has great plans for you. Number two. Hope. This is simple. It's been a long time up. I want you to understand it. Hope begins with salvation. Just take a little bit of time here. Hope begins with salvation. Now, if you don't know for sure if you die today that you would go to heaven, we need to settle that today before you leave. I'm not talking about what Mama told me I did. Now, maybe you did. But you know what? God's not upset if you make sure that you know that you know. Well, Mama knows that I pray to receive Christ, and I believe Mama. You know what? There's something that needs to be done in your heart that kind of solidifies that, kind of locks that into place. You ought to know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. Because if you know that you know that you know, then you know you've got a relationship with God who has a plan for you. But you can believe that there's a God who has a plan for you and you think you're saved. Well, you know, okay, I'll step out this far. But I'm not sure I'm going to go there. Because, you know, I don't know. I just wonder, you know, if I've got this thing straight with the Lord. You know, I mean, I think I do. I mean, I really do. Mama says I did. And, the preacher said he baptized me and I was four. And, you know, and there's a picture of me with a wet head. But we're not saved by getting a wet head. We're saved when our heart fully trusts in what Christ has done on the cross for us. The wages of sin is death, and our heart knows that. We're accountable to a holy, righteous God. And down in our heart, we know that it within us dwells no good thing that is within our flesh. It knows that. We know the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And you say, well, I know that, and I think I took it. Well, hey, maybe as someone with cognitive ability, a little more age on you, maybe you ought to get it settled that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. And by golly, the one who saved me has begun a good work in me and will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. He has a plan for me. And if he has a plan for me, I have hope. See, we think, you know, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I think I'm going to drop off the edge of the earth. I don't know what's going to happen. Everything's falling apart. I think the whole thing's going to go up in smoke. God's bigger than smoke. If you're not saved, you have no hope. And to be honest with yourself, you've got to realize that. Jesus is our hope, and if you do not have Jesus, you do not have hope. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Colossians 1:3, here's our passage. It says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. He says, they started praying for God to do something great in their lives as soon as they heard that they were saved, and thus they have hope for change. I don't think God can change me. Well, are you saved? Well, you know, as soon as I figure out whether God can change me, then maybe I'll go ahead and do that. Doesn't work that way. You got to get saved first. We got to come to him, if not physically, on our knees and our knees in our heart. I'm a sinner, lost, headed for hell. Jesus died and paid for all my sins. I trust in what he did on the cross as full payment. Him alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. And he says, and so he's saying, listen, as soon as you guys got saved, that's the commencement. That's the beginning. Now something can start in that person's life.
The things of God are foolishness to the natural man. The Holy Spirit's not working in a person that doesn't, in whom he doesn't dwell. He may speak in their heart and move them to salvation, but that's the first thing the Holy Spirit's going to do. You go out and try to lead them by the Lord. You don't get into a discussion about whether a Christian should smoke or a Christian should drink or where Cain got his wife or they're not gonna understand all that stuff. What they need to understand, we're sinners, bound for a devil's hell, and only Jesus paid for our sins, and he paid for all of them. And we'll receive him as Savior, we'll have salvation. We've got to get that settled. So he started praying for him. He says, praying always for you, verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. What's that? Evidence of being saved. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we pass from death to life because we have love for the brethren. Boy, if you can't stand Christians. Now listen, I've heard you, every preacher's probably said it. Being a preacher would be great if it wasn't for all the Christians. But the fact is, you love them. It's like saying, that's like a dog groomer saying, it'd be a great job if it wasn't for all the dogs. You know, I remember hearing a custodian. After school, he'd be cleaning up when I was working in school. He said, it'd be a great place to work if it wasn't for all the kids. But the fact is, he loved being around the kids. We have hope. We have hope because we're saved. And because we're saved, we're going to have love for the brethren, and it's evidence of being saved. Verse 5 says, for the hope, look at it, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. In other words, we have hope of being in heaven because they're saved. But listen, there's also a whole set of hopes. There's a whole set of hopes that are available from heaven because you're saved. You follow what I'm saying? We have hope of eternal life. We have hope to be free from hell. But we have a whole new set of hopes that are available because he's our God, because we are saved. We now have a Father who's working us. He has a plan for us. Verse 6. Which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. In other words, this all started the day you got saved, whether you recognize it or not. God started to work in you. He's got plans for you. He's got a whole set of hopes, and that all went into effect the day you got saved. He started working on them. Now, he had them all lined up from the foundation of the world. But the day we got saved, okay, put him in place. Let's go ahead and equip him. Number 3. Number 1 is God has a plan for you. Number 2, hope begins with salvation. Number 3, when we get saved, we get hope because we get Jesus. And Jesus is God. Colossians 2, I just turned the page. Colossians 2, it's all part of the same letter, right? Verse 9, who's Jesus? For in him, in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. Now that word complete means crammed, full, satisfied, no missing parts. When you get Jesus, you are completed. Well, I don't know, he got something I didn't get. The only way that's possible is if he got Jesus and you didn't. Now we're all part of the body of Christ. We're not all the engines. We're not all the wheels. We're not all steering wheels. We're not all horns. Well, a lot of horns. But we're not all, listen, we're not all the same part because it won't make the motor go. It won't make the car get where it needs to go. We're all part of the body. We all got to do our job. But the fact is, God has a plan for us, and we're completely equipped for that plan. The problem is we got to let God work the plan. If we don't let God work the plan's not going to work, and we're going to throw out the whole thing, the baby, The baby with the bathwater. I'm sorry, I was just thinking about the way the Pennsylvania Dutch said, throw the dog out the window some water. You know, anyway. God's got a plan. Look, okay, watch. Verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. This is not an outward show. It says God's doing something intimate on the inside of you. He's cutting away the filth from the inside of you. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12, look. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Listen, if he can get rid of all your sins and wash them away, just think what else he can do. Everything, all our sins are nailed to the cross. Boom, 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 boom. And the one who died for our sins has a plan for you. And he can fulfill the plan because he's God. As saved people, we have the hope of all of heaven to look forward to. No hell, no tears. No dying, no sorrow, no sickness, no night, no sin, only light. But hope does not stop with salvation. Number four, there's greater hope beyond salvation. Well, how can it be any greater than that? That's just to listen. The kids went through high school. We're having commencement tonight. Now, if you were like me, when I was a kid, fifth, sixth, seventh grade, I thought commencement meant finishing. I really did. I thought it meant, okay, we're having commencement. Must mean to finish. Now, if you're from the South, you heard them say, well, we're going to commence with fishing. Or we're going to commence with, that means we're going to start. Everything they've gone through the last 13 years or whatever it is just to get started, just to get the motor started. And they're thinking, oh, my soul. You remember how long it took for you to get through high school? Remember how short it's been since high school? I will have been out of high school. And long enough. 2018, 40 years. My soul. But you know what? There's been several places in my life that were commencing points. You know, high school, the first, listen, when you're in fifth grade, you just want to get out of elementary school. Then you want to get out of junior high or whatever, middle school. Then you want to get out of high school. I did not want to go to college. Oh, my soul. Then you want to get out of college or get out of test school or get the job and this kind of stuff and get everything rolling. And then you say, why in the world did I ever want to get here? But there was times in my life where God says, okay, I'm done. We're going to move a different spot. I remember when I moved out of public schools into Christian school. When I moved out of Christian school back to seminary into being a pastor, music director. Remember the day when I just felt like God was calling me to move on the next section to come up here. And then when I felt moved that we needed to start this Christian school. Listen, if you had asked me when I was in high school, God's going to do this and do this and do this, I said, I'm scared to get out of bed. I'm going to go back and pull the covers up.
God has a plan. And it's God that brings it to pass. God has a plan for you. I don't know what it is. They're all different. Watch. We have to live from now until heaven. We have many decisions to make and experiences to live through. And we need God's wisdom. And in this world, that's scary. Is there hope for that? Yeah. God hasn't fallen off the throne. He's still your Savior. And He's still God. We can have wisdom to make the right decisions. There is hope. I've heard a couple of teenagers say, I want to get married so I can make my own decisions. If I could just get married and have a couple kids, then everything would be all right. Didn't they look at themselves when they were being raised as a kid? I mean, don't they understand what you're getting into? And so you get in the middle of all this, you think, oh, my soul. Let's back up. Take a deep breath. There's hope because there's God. Now, don't be too big and too full of yourself not to go back to God's word to find the wisdom. Verse 9 says this. He knows that they're saved. He says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, all about you getting saved and loving the brethren, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We, by our own voluntary will, need to say, I need to know you, Lord. Speak to me. When you get your Bible out to read it, do you say, Lord, show me what I need to know today? You know, it's a whole lot easier a teacher probably learns more than their students because they know they're going to have to explain it to somebody else. But you know what? Even if you're not a teacher, explain it. Pretend you're explaining it to somebody else and explain it to yourself so you know what it says. Fact is, I think if we're not careful, we'll lose a generation of kids because we don't know the Bible enough to pass it on. We're waiting for the church to do it. Well, wait a minute. We have them for an hour and a half and on Sunday morning. I know it seems like five, but we only have them for an hour and a half or so on Sunday morning, and we think that that's going to fix everything when the world has them the rest of the week. There's hope for me beyond just escaping hell. We must be filled with knowledge. And knowledge is in the Word of God. Knowledge of His will. He's got a plan. And if we don't do it according to His Word, we're not going to be able to work His plan. Because in His sovereignty, He gave you the free choice. We can be fruitful and productive in life. That's hope. Look at verse 10. Watch. He says, we go back to verse 9. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. In other words, according to His plan, being fruitful in every good work. In other words, making progress, being productive. Something's happening and increasing in the knowledge of God. This doesn't just work sometimes. It always works. We can expect the blessings of God in our life. That's hope. Look at verse 11. We'll be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. We have hope because Jesus is God. Do you understand that? He's God. He's not some sentimental thing we sing about in Sunday school. He's God. He's the Creator. He wants to hear your heart. He has a plan for you. Will you let Him work His plan? Verse 12, go back to 11. Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet, fit
fitting to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God makes us fit and then he gives it to us. We can expect to be delivered from the power of darkness. That's hope. Look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Listen, there's a lot of folks who are very superstitious, and there's some around this area. I mean, there's witchcraft, there's occult, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that goes around here, and they're almost superstitious about it. Don't you worry about the powers of darkness. Walk in the light, and there is no darkness. Listen, if you're possessed by him, you're not going to be possessed by anybody else. You can be oppressed. Well, what's that mean? Well, that's the devil who walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's going, except for your ears. Are you hurt? No. You didn't hear my question, did you? You see, that's all Satan can do. Unless God allows him to, just to keep us straight, he can't do any more than that. Why? We're God's child. We have hope. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Well, all the world is yelling and roaring. He said, listen, you resist the devil, he'll flee. And you resist steadfast in the faith. You know what? He didn't move. Didn't need to. I don't need to be blown off course. No matter how hard he roars. Because it's not his power. God's our power. So how can we be hopeless when you have salvation from sin, the wisdom of God accessible to you, and thus a fruitful and productive life, and the blessings of God awaiting you? Oh, there's so much I want to give you. But what I'm going to stop right there. The mind can only absorb as much as the other side can endure. This is real simple, and I'll give this next week, and won't be so long. No, I'll give this in 2 weeks. Next week's Expansion Sunday. Got something special for you next week. We have salvation. We have him. We have the wisdom of God for life. Thus we have a productive life. And thus the blessings of God. That's hope. That's hope. How can we not have hope? We have hope because we have Jesus. And Jesus is God. You and him, well, actually him, always makes a majority. The scales are always tilted his way. Just get on his side of the scales. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for speaking our hearts here this morning. I thank you for the hope that we have in you. Lord, we thank you for the salvation we have full and free. We thank you, Lord, our hope does not just end with salvation so we can just kind of slide into heaven by the skin of our teeth. But Lord, you have a great plan for us. You have a will for our lives. May we be willing to yield to your will and your ways and enjoy the hope that you have in store for us. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.